I would like you to open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. An incredible question was asked of the Apostle Peter when he was just a young man, didn't even know what apostles really did. None of them did. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter was explaining what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was all about and how the new covenant had been inaugurated and how Yeshua, who had been crucified, was in fact Adonai and Mashiach of the Jewish people. And it says that of these thousands of Jewish people who were listening to his proclamation, many were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And so he's being asked this question: if I want to turn to God and I want to be a Jewish man of faith or a woman of faith, what do I do? And this was a question that Peter was asked, and he didn't flinch. He didn't give a complicated answer, but he spoke very clearly. And he understood that a change had taken place in the whole temple system. All throughout Judaism, there was this anticipation that the temple system was on the verge of transformation. The Essenes was a group that had formed. They gathered in the Qumran. They understood that there was an end to the temple coming. The Pharisees, who are quite well known, were not in fact necessarily large in number. But they understood that the ministry, the priestly ministry, was being distributed into the homes of the Jewish people, and it wouldn't just reside in the temple. The Sadducees were holding on to the temple system. It's where they received their power and where they received their salaries. But there were other groups. There were zealots who cared nothing at all for the temple system. And then there were the Messianic Jews who were trying to figure out what's going on anyway. What is happening here? And who didn't run out into the wilderness at that point like those in Qumran did, like the Essenes, fully separating themselves from the rest of the Jewish people. And they didn't try to hold on to the temple system the way the Sadducees were. And they weren't trying to create something that was just a pure alternative the way the Pharisees were. But they were trying to find their place, and it was a hard time for them because Yeshua had just died. He had been crucified, which should have been a sign that everything was destroyed. But because they knew what they were part of and who they belonged to, they understood that even though things may look that way, that's not the way they are. Because they remembered Moses. They remembered when he came down from Mount Sinai and he saw Israel worshiping a golden calf. Do you remember that story? And how Moses thought everything was kaput. At that moment, it looked like everything that Israel had been promised would not be fulfilled because of Israel's turning away from God. And yet, Moses pressed in to God, and God pressed into Moses, and they stood firm in that difficult period, and Israel came back around. And we read about this. We read about not the golden calf, but we read about how Israel came back around and got her sanctuary established, which was the forerunner to the temple. And so for Moses, he had had this crisis. He had seen everything turn upside down, and it looked like Israel could not go on, and yet she did. And as Eric read to us from Exodus earlier tonight, Moses took notice that everything Israel was to do, she did to prepare the sanctuary, and she did it well. And God was enjoying that. So Peter knows what he's made of. He knows that at Purim, prophetically, something could happen like we do. He knew at Passover. Now, he didn't really celebrate Purim. How many of you caught that? I'm just checking. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. I don't think so. But at Passover, he knew God had great victories. He knew incredible things had happened, and he knew that Yeshua had died not in vain, and he'd risen from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and there they were trying to explain everything to their Jewish world What's going on? And so many heard what Peter was saying, and many said, what do we do now? And this is what Peter says. Verse 38, Acts 2:38, repent. In Hebrew, of course, it means return to God. Return to God. You've been going in a different direction. Return to God. And let every one of you be immersed in water in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Let every one of you be washed in the mikvah, or washed in living water in the name of Yeshua, for forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So he says it very simply and very clearly. Turn to God, return to God, repent. Repent means turning away from sin. It means turning away from anything that separates you from God and God's people. It means turning to God and putting distance between you and your sins. And then he says, and be washed, be immersed in water in the name of Yeshua. English translations often say be baptized. And it sounds to the Jewish ear like, you know, something un-Jewish. And yet it was absolutely a Jewish thing to do, which I'll describe to you in just a few minutes. And then receive forgiveness of your sins. Receive forgiveness. And then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So these are the essential steps forward. Now for me, as I was coming to Yeshua, the hardest part for me was tevilah, immersion in water. And my struggle over that decision actually helped prepare me to make a deeper commitment to the Lord. I was one of those people who has a strong will. How many of you have a strong will you can identify? How many of you have a strong enough will that other people can call you stubborn? Congratulations, you're in the right congregation. So it was wrestling over the question, would I be immersed in water? Would I obey this instruction? And knowing that these instructions were derived from Yeshua's own words, because he said the same thing himself directly. Would I obey that if I was going to call Yeshua Lord? If I was going to say Yeshua is Adonai, if I really believed he was Messiah, if I really did believe that he was the Son of God come down from heaven, who became the Lamb of God who took away my sins, if I really believe that, if I really believe he died and was rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, would I obey him in this simple matter? And the answer at first was absolutely not. And so that created a fracture between what I knew in my heart and what I was willing to do with my body and with my will. And I had to struggle with that and struggle. And it took me months and months. And I tried to negotiate with God to do everything as an alternative, to improve myself morally, ethically, spiritually, and to provide some alternative that might satisfy God. And yet, in my deepest heart, I understood something. I understood I was just plain disobedient. I was saying he was Lord, but when he wanted to command me, I was saying, not so easy and not so fast. So I struggled with it until I got to the end. And God used that as a time of counting costs for myself, of anticipating rejection and how I would handle it. And of setting a pattern for me about what kind of life I was going to live. Would I be an invisible Jewish believer, hidden somewhere, in hiding from family, friends, and community, or would I just be out in the open? And so I had to go through that struggle. Now, these very simple words, I want to connect to some words from our Torah portion. I want you to turn backwards to Exodus chapter 40. And just to look at a few verses here, verses 12 and 13. You see, the temple has the Mishkan, the sanctuary, the tabernacle has been prepared. Everything has been built. The architecture has been created beautifully, and the furnishings have been amazingly and intricately prepared. And now it's time to bring in the people. Verse 12. Then you shall bring Aaron. This is what what Moses says, the Lord told him to do. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. Now, I was reading this translation in a Jewish Orthodox website today, and it really caught my attention because the English translation from this Orthodox Jewish version was a little bit different than the Hebrew text itself. But what it said is, you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the Mishkan, the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall immerse themselves in the mikvah. And I understood that the Hebrew said something different. The Hebrew actually said, and they shall wash themselves with water, or you shall wash them with water, rather. And yet, among the Jewish people, it's the Orthodox Jews who practice water immersion to this day. And the pool of water is called the mikvah. And the practice of being washed in water is tevilah. Can you say that? Tevilah? And when someone is immersed in water, which is a regular custom among the Orthodox Jews, they thank God who commands them to make tevilah, to be immersed in water. And so I understood why that variant in the translation was understandable to the Orthodox Jewish readers who were looking at this. If you're going to be washed in water for spiritual cleansing, what do? You immerse yourself in the mikvah, and you make tevilah. And so they were just, using that as the point of reference because all of their readers would understand that. And it really caught my attention because I saw something there. I saw that to this day, there are generally not a lot of Jewish people who understand that immersion in water is Jewish. And that the word baptize, coming from the Greek baptizo, is simply the word that the Jewish translators into Greek picked to describe being immersed in water in the mikvah. Which, instead of a mikvah, you can also use living water, for instance, in a river, a body of water. And so my mind started connecting these things, and I started realizing just how important these words that we're reading now from Exodus, just how important they are as a foundation, because Peter is not explaining something strange and non-Jewish to those in Jerusalem who are asking him what to do. He's giving them essential Jewish answers to the question. Well, what do you do? Well, where do you start? And the Jewish answer is always repent, make teshuvah, return to God. That's always the starting point. That's why in Jeremiah 4 it says, if you return, return to me, says the Lord. Returning to the land of Israel is important. It's prophetic. It's powerful, but it's not to be confused with repentance. It can be a partner to repentance because God desires to restore Israel physically in her land and spiritually everywhere. And so it's one part. But returning to Israel without returning to the Lord was never God's intention. Returning to Israel was always supposed to be accompanied with a return to God. So this caught my attention. Here you've got Messianic Jews in the book of Acts saying, repent and be immersed in water, be washed. and receive forgiveness. And then you've got Orthodox Jews making a modern American English translation saying that what Moses needs to do is immerse in water the Kohanim, the priests. And if we were to take those words, we could say that Moses is being commanded by God to give tevilah to the Kohanim, to Aaron and his sons. And that's why Peter understood he could freely say to all the Jewish people, be immersed in water. You see, today there's such a vast gap and gulf between Jewish thinking and Christian thinking that Christians don't even understand when they do Jewish things many times. And they don't even understand that what they're doing is a Jewish thing. And so they teach one another that it's not Jewish. And then Jews are off doing something very similar. And they know it's Jewish and they have no idea there are Christians out there doing it. But in the Messianic Jewish world, we are part of the New Covenant and we're part of Israel. We're part of the Jewish people. So we follow Yeshua and all this stuff comes together and we have to see how integrated and how connected it is and how simple some of these details are. So it says the sons of Aaron need to go and make tevilah at Moses' direction. They need to wash. They need to get clean. And then verse 13, you shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him. And some translations say consecrate him. That's really not the best word. It's really sanctify him so that he can minister to me as a priest. And the word sanctify means to separate him out for a special purpose. So they need to be anointed and then sanctified so that they can minister, so that they can serve. So I find it absolutely fascinating how in this week's Torah portion, we see that the priests of Israel are called to be anointed. Now, everyone in Israel who's called to be anointed belongs to who? The anointed one to come, Mashiach. Everyone who receives anointing from God during the time of Moses, they are a prophetic declaration of the coming of Messiah. And so they're called to be anointed and to serve with anointing as well. And to be holy. And that's why Peter says almost the same things. He says, you've got to repent, return to God, be immersed in water, receive forgiveness for your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the anointing from the anointed one who sends the Holy Spirit. You see, Moses was declaring there's an anointing, and Yeshua was fulfilling that. And so the Messianic Jews, after Yeshua's resurrection, walk in that anointing. In Hebrew, if you were to be Mashiachim, you would be anointed ones. So if you're Messianic Jews, Yehudim Mashiachim, then you are Jews who are anointed. Isn't that interesting? That's what we're supposed to be. All of us are supposed to walk in God's anointing. Now, the bridge, I think, between Moses and the book of Acts is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, which was in our supplemental readings for this week. And we'll turn there in just a minute. But before we do, I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 2 and just look at verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, this is the Jerusalem temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food, this is the Messianic Jews, ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the Kehillah, the congregation, daily those who were being saved. And I want you to notice something. The disciples of Yeshua kept their Jewish identity and their connections, and they remained within the Jewish community. That's why they are in the temple. That's why they're breaking bread house to house, because their world is the Jewish world, and they have received Yeshua inside that world, and they remain inside that world. And I just want to point out that That's what a good relationship with God through Messiah will do for you. It will cause you to be more strongly connected to the Jewish world, to the Jewish people, just like it strengthened the Jewish identity of the Messianic Jews. It didn't weaken it. The Messianic Jews didn't say, "Oh my gosh, I wonder what denomination we should join now." They didn't say, "Oh, you know what? Now the church has begun." They spoke Hebrew, for goodness sakes. Church isn't even a Greek word or a Hebrew word. They had to wait until they met Germans to learn how to say that. They remained in the Jewish world. They lived in the Jewish world. Everything they experienced was in the context of the Jewish world. That's where they found themselves. They were Jews. Now let's look at a prophecy that makes the connection between Peter and Moses and what they were doing. It's in Jeremiah 31, so turn there. Last thing we're going to look at here. Then we're going to go eat cake. Jeremiah 31:31, every member of a Messianic congregation should know this passage. It should be strongly written on your minds and your hearts. "Behold, the days are coming." Remember, this is prophetic. It's written, declared by the Jewish prophet Jeremiah. Just remind yourself of that. He was Jewish. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." You know what new covenant is? Brit HaChadashah. "With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." So you understand, Jeremiah is saying that there is a change that will happen in the covenant, the Sinai covenant. There is a change. "My covenant," it says, "which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." But important to notice is God says, because Israel broke the covenant, he'll make a new covenant. So he doesn't offer the new covenant because he's rejecting Israel, but because he's faithful to Israel. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord, because I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." So I want you to see the thread of repentance and the thread of anointing and the thread of forgiveness that goes from Moses to Peter. And it works its way through Jeremiah, who proclaims to the Jewish people that this new covenant is coming. And all of Judaism during the time of Yeshua was anticipating a change in the covenant, in the manifestation of that covenant. And there was an anticipation of Messiah coming. And when John was immersing in water at the Jordan, many came to him from Jerusalem, priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, many different kinds of Jews, and said, "Are you Mashiach? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" Because they associated being immersed in water with the coming of the Jewish Messiah. And yet John said, "I'm none of those, but I'm preparing the way for the one who is the Messiah, Yeshua, who's coming." So the new covenant that Peter was promising to Israel had actually come about because Jeremiah's word was being fulfilled. It wasn't just a brand new thought. It had been declared, a new covenant is coming. It's in the Jewish scriptures. This is not in Christian scriptures that we're reading, or Brit HaChadashah, new covenant scriptures. But you see how Jeremiah makes it so plain and simple that Israel, who could not keep her covenant, will receive a new covenant. And that this covenant is a covenant of faith because every man, every woman, from the least to the greatest, will have a personal relationship with God. A clean relationship with God. And will receive forgiveness from God. That's the new covenant. And it's a covenant that proclaims God's faithfulness. We read on verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon, and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they've done, says the Lord. In other words, the immeasurability of the universe is one of the reasons, is one of the guarantees that God gives that Israel will be preserved no matter what. And the existence of day and night and stars is another guarantee. If night disappears and if morning disappears, and if there are no more stars, Israel's in trouble. Because they are guarantees of God's faithfulness to her. So do you see this connection? The priests come into their position, how? By being brought in by another who proclaims to them what they must do. Wash. What they must do, receive God's anointing. What they must do, separate themselves according to God's holiness and be sanctified. What they must do, serve the Lord. It's just like Peter and what he said. What must we do? Repent. Come to God. Wash. Get clean in the name of Yeshua. Receive forgiveness and then receive God's anointing by the Holy Spirit. All of this is part of the new beginning. All of this is part of Israel's historical message of faith. Peter makes it understandable to a generation that experienced incredible tumult and would have more to come because this temple system was about to end. And Yeshua, through his sacrifice, brought into fullness everything that the temple was meant to do and to be. And then he accomplished the transformation, believe it or not, of all Judaisms, where they ceased to be centered on the temple, and where the good news of the kingdom of God had to penetrate into new places in the Jewish world. Because of that, and in new ways. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you are someone who calls Yeshua Adonai, bring yourself to God or let someone bring you. Either one is good. And wash up. Get clean. Receive Tevilah the Jewish way. Be immersed in water. That's how. Immersion. You know what that means? Go underwater. Sink yourself. Receive God's anointing, the Holy Spirit, and sanctify yourself. Welcome God's holiness as a standard and as a goal for your life. Follow God. Go with Him. Leave behind everything you must. Separate yourself from evil, from anything that keeps you away from God, and start serving Him wholeheartedly. If you do that, you're walking in the fullness of the new covenant. If you give yourself to Yeshua, and say, He's Adonai, He is my Lord, He is my God, then He will lead you through these steps. And don't stop until you finish these steps. Don't think you finished your new beginning steps until you've done these. These are necessary steps for the new beginning. That's why regularly we encourage people to prepare for Tevilah, to be immersed in water. It's why we pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. It's why we encourage people to understand what repentance is and what faith is, so that you can live a faithful life. And I want to encourage you, don't skip any of these steps. However long it takes you, until you've finished all of them, you haven't finished the first steps of the new beginning. If you want to be immersed in water, you can see me after the service, or you can see Paula, you can give her your name. I don't know where we're going to do it. the next time, but it will be soon. And she'll keep your name, and we will invite you to a class for immersion in water. And when you come, you can know one thing. You're acting in faithful obedience to God who calls you and gives you simple instruction about how you can complete your first steps. Let's close in prayer now. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you call us to yourself and you give us practical things and simple things we can do in faithfulness to your word. We want to be obedient to you. And so we say yes to you and all of your commands in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Stand up. Don't anybody be left behind here. Don't anyone be left alone. Everyone stand together with family or with friends or with your roommate. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, Shabbat Shalom.